BAI.org on the web.
Buddy, this is the wonderful and amazing, fantastic, remarkable Armand DeMille. With you with the possible mind. Lisa Arnone helping me today, working with me here in the studio. Lisa, welcome back.
Thanks, Armand.
Good to have you here. We've been doing some interesting work here. So Lisa and I research most of the programs that we do before we present them to you. And today, we're going to present program number 11 in our series, Psychology for Therapists. Now, we skipped the last two because Lisa wasn't here, but this is an idea we had a number of months ago. Lisa came to me and said, show me what you got. And I said, okay, and she meant teach me what you have. Added to her knowledge, and part of that was as I decided to show it, we should show this to the audience. So here we are, you are getting a professional perception as we see it, as I would present it to psychologists, social workers, hopefully psychiatrists. And we're going to go further with this today. It's been very exciting.
We also have such a nice time talking together. It always generates lots of interesting ideas. So
yeah, it's fun, isn't it? Okay, so today, I want you to get this picture that we talked about last 2 weeks ago. We talked about the realms of the unconscious, and we talked about the mind and how there are three sections of the mind, three parts of the mind. Today, I'm going to focus on just two. And with this, too, I'm going to relate to falling in love, why people fall in love, why they don't fall in love, how they fall out of love, what love is all about, all of that, as it relates to the inner workings of the human mind. So let's start off with the ego and the id. You've heard of those words. Nice, short words, very good for Scrabble. Ego, id, right? You fit them in there wherever you can. I wonder if there would be a psychology Scrabble where we're only allowed to use words that would be in a psychiatric dictionary. Ego and id, ego. So now the ego, according to Freud, get this. Well, let's start with the id. The id is the secret driver of our desires. The desires that animate our conscious life. It is all of the passions, all of the drives, is the id. The id is the force. It's a life force itself. Its purpose is survival, procreation, continuation. That's what the id is. So the id is like this, you know, wild animal inside of us who only wants to eat when it's hungry and run when it feels like running and get away from danger and fight when it has to fight for what it wants. It's in every one of us. The ego, one would think, is the part that does the reasoning, but that's not true. We used to think that to be true, but let's go back to Freud's original idea here. He said the ego is what we take to be our conscious autonomous self. Autonomous self is ignorant to the id. It doesn't see the id as a force it has to contend with. It just sees itself as the driver of the force. See, it sees itself, it's like a man on horseback, struggling to contain the powerful beast beneath. But to the extent that the ego succeeds in guiding this beast, it's only by transforming its will into action that I want it to do. So get this in mind now. There is no, the ego is not negotiating the beast. He's taming the beast. And the beast is its vehicle.
Does he think the beast is him? It seems that if he doesn't know the beast...
It's like an extension of him.
Right.
It's an extension of you. Like when you're a child, sometimes you don't realize that your foot, when you're a baby, your foot is on your body. You can't tell. Or do you ever see dogs who chase their tails? Right? They don't see this as separate than them. So the ego is working at transforming this force. Now, by Freud's account, conscious autonomy is a charade. It's not that we are in control. It's that we live as a being with this force inside us if, at all time. Now, many of you remember as a kid, you were told to control these forces. Religion, the purpose of religion, control the forces. Keep that horse, if we think of it as a wild horse, keep those drives, keep that in the barn, keep it under control. Do not try to, don't let it out too often. So thou shalt not. And all the things that you shalt not do is what a wild horse would not do. You know, you were told you're not allowed to, it's what a wild horse would do is what you're not allowed to do. So you're not allowed to do running around like crazy things. You're not allowed to be non-selective. You're not allowed to make too much noise. And as a child, you could tell by your parents you're being trained to suppress your id so that your ego self can have a more successful ride in life. Now, there's a very interesting model in transactional analysis, which I mentioned in the last program. They saw this thing as the parent, adult, and child. Different than Freud's perception, they saw it parent, adult, child. And what they said was the child they perceive as equal to the id. And then they perceive the parent as the part that controls the id. It's against the id. And the ego, the self, is supposedly in the middle, negotiating between the two. Freud didn't see it that way. Basically saw it as the ego and the id kind of trying to work together in some way, but neither one conscious of each other. I hope that makes sense. It's a very hard concept to get into your mind. But when you get it, it makes a lot of other things clear, especially about love and romance, which we'll get to later in the program in answer to Jerry's question. Ooh, who is Jerry? Jerry's a guy I stood with outside on Saturday evening because I was standing there, just standing because I said, Jerry came by and he recognized me. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm just standing here because I want to just stand here, taking a break, and I was outside. I'd been writing something. And he said, mind if I hang out with you? I said, absolutely not. So Jerry and I hung out for an hour, during which time Jerry got a chance to ask me a question. And the question he asked me was the following. He said, Armand, he said, why can't I fall in love anymore? That was his question. Now, of course, if you listen to me on the radio all the time, you saw me standing on a street corner, you might come over and you might ask me a question. A lot of people who I see nowadays who come in for the consultations that they got through WBAI, they have a question for me. Well, Jerry had a question. Why can't I fall in love anymore? And today's program is dedicated to Jerry and the answer to his question, which I actually gave him while we were standing on the corner as well, my perception of. So back to this. This is Armand Amil with Lisa Arnone. We're talking about the id and the ego, and it's important for you to get this picture. Now, when we tried to picture this, Lisa and I, and we said, how could we present what it's really like? It's not the ego at war with the horse, with the id. No, he's trying to work with it. The rider is trying to get in harmony with the id. They're trying to get a harmonious relationship without even knowing of each other's existence. So he looked, he said, okay, now what is it? Let's look up on the internet and we'll go do our research and find out, what do you call it when a horse and a rider get through the initial difficult period and they are harmonious? What is that called, harmonious horsing? What did you find when we were searching for this, Lisa?
I looked up descriptions of cooperation between horses and their riders. And so they talk about balance and harmony, which you used, suppleness and rhythm, which is particularly important with a horse, and a clear, mindful, and consistent sense of communication.
A clear, mindful sense of communication between the horse
and the rider.
And the rider. Now, that almost makes sense, but in the id and the ego, it's not so much a communication between the two as a cooperation. What did you find on the words?
Here we go.
Yeah, here we go. Here are your words. So when there's a collaboration between the two, they call it coacting, colluding, coming together, cooperating, interfacing, participating, or teaming up. But there's no real word for what happens when horse and rider are in absolute harmony. I thought there'd be a word. Instead, they have this other one, which is what you're doing, which is collecting, controlling, repressing, restraining, simmering down, smothering, or suppressing. So it's the real words that we have for trying to control our wildness is not a word really of collaboration, but it's words of controlling. Controlling, very important. You got to control that wild animal. Love is a wild horse. Or we could perceive love as a wild horse. And let's think about this for a minute. If, to Jerry's question, why don't I fall in love anymore? And I said to Jerry, because you're not so needy, Jerry. And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, when I knew you 7 years ago, you're a very needy guy. Needy, looking for something. He said, I was looking for so much. I was looking to be reinforced as a man. I wanted to be seen as a real man. He says, I'm a little short. I wanted to be seen as taller. I wanted to be seen as good looking. And he talked about all these things that he wanted to be seen as. He wanted to have girls. He wanted people to love him so that he could feel really loved and appreciated. And he needed that all the time. So he would find girlfriend after girlfriend after girlfriend. And the minute that they fed this missing part of him, he fell in love with them. He had a minus inside him. The minus was his perception of himself. And when he met somebody who gave him a plus for the minus, he felt what he called in love. Of course, those relationships are very difficult, and many of you have gone through those in your life where you feel you have this feeling of being in love, finding a plus for your minus, having your need filled at any given moment. But let's say you've gone through it long enough, and let's say the need to be loved and loving is just this wild horse animal inside you. It's this sexual drive combined with passionate drive, combined with fear of being alone, combined with a whole bunch of wild things. And luckily, as you get older, they calm down your metabolism, and the horse has needs that are not as strong. The horse's needs, the horse inside you, the wildness inside you, calms down. So now you're not bucking and screaming and saying, oh, where's, I got to go find me a stallion, or I got to go find me a mare, because I have to impregnate her and I have to be going. You know, the sexual drive is a very strong thing. You know, I read something curious this morning. We were reading something very curious about why, when people are sexually stimulated, they mostly feel it genitally, and why a man has it one way that he feels it, which is stimulation and it's some form of beginning of an erection. But a woman has not an erection, not swollen, she gets lubrication, right? And that this is suddenly one of the big questions that they ask. Why does this happen? Why is lubrication versus that?
Well, I was saying that it's not only lubrication, but this is what they're measuring, right? So why only lubrication? Because what's required is penetration.
And so the lubrication allows the penetration without being harmed. You see, the lubrication is a form, so it happens eye to eye. When a person has eye contact with another person, a woman's way of knowing she's turned on is she feels this sense of lubrication, and that's because her body is preparing her to be receptive to penetration. And what that would mean is, in that penetration, if it did happen, she wouldn't be harmed along the way. So that's the way, nature's way of preparing her. Whereas for the man, they're preparing him by giving him some extra blood supply so that he would be able to penetrate, right? Now, this is what's good about this. What's good about this is, like, look at how hard nature is working to make this all happen. This is all part of the id. Well, you get a little older, right? And the blood flow doesn't happen as fast. Lubrication doesn't happen as fast. It may slow down. It may need a little longer gaze than the original gaze, you know, which might have just taken 1 second. And so eventually the id, the part of us that's drive, is not just sexual. All the other needs kind of go together into this. What about the need to eat? How could that be part of the wild horse? Well, it is the need for nurturance. We got to get food. But if the horse learns that it could get its own food, you know, it could just be still and open up a can of seed. What do horses eat?
Oats.
Oats. Just open up, get some Quaker oats. And that's enough for this moment, you know what I mean? If the horse learns he could go to the store and get it, then the horse is not as wild looking for the oats, and it's not looking for shelter, and it's not looking for things. So the horse can be tamed down. It can tame itself down. Many of us, considering that we have this, sowing your oats, what an interesting thing. Many of us believing we have this wild horse inside us, which is this part of us that's hungry for love. Hungry, hungry. You get hungrier for love when you are feeling neediest. A woman came in to see me a little early. She said, you know, I really miss my old friend so-and-so, and she gave me his name. And I said, well, what do you miss about it mostly? And she said, he used to look at me, you know, like nobody else ever looked at me. And I said, you miss being important to somebody. She said, I miss being regarded. I miss being important to somebody. And what does that mean? It means, you know, so I miss that, but how do I translate that? I translate that to I miss him. See, I miss the man. I'm going to call him up. No, it's the feeling that you're missing. It's the need that's there. So when the need is there, you are very likely easily to fall in love should it happen. Even if you have this need, but you've decided not to go out, and you decided to stay in the stable of your own apartment, you know, you kind of put yourself in there and you say, I'm just going to be here and nothing's going to happen. And there's a false alarm and a fireman comes up. You could fall in love with the fireman. You could fall in love with anybody. You could fall in love with somebody soliciting something on the phone because of the need being there. So we're taking the need back to the id as being a strong part of the id for a bunch of things that it feeds, and we're saying that this is what you the ego has to deal with. So many people, they decide, I'm going to take this especially as you get older. I'm going to take this horse and I'm going to just put it in the barn. I'm not going to put it out to pasture. I am not going to ride this horse anymore because every time I ride it, I hurt my back. Every time I get on this horse, I wind up falling off, hurting my back, doing, I am not going to love anymore. That's it. I'm done with love. And you go out to the movie with your girlfriends and you say, yeah, and you don't even talk about relationships. In fact, you trash relationships. You talk about relationships in a bad kind of way. Whatever there's a bad thing to talk about it to remind each other that the horses are dangerous. That you got to be careful getting on that horse. But then every now and then, one of your friends get on the horse again, and they say, I met a man, and I'm in love, or I met a woman, and I'm in love, and this is really fantastic, and it's wonderful. And you watch them, and you know. You say, probably, well, they're going to fall down again, maybe. And if they do, it's just another lesson. So you put your horse away, and what you may do is you may get yourself, you may live in your apartment, and you get yourself a dog, and you say, okay, instead of getting on that dangerous horse of love and trying to be loved, I'm gonna get a dog, and the dog at least will be in my house. It'll lick my face. I feed it. It'll be small. I can take it for a walk. It'll be cute. Be much less rebellious. It's not going to kick. It's not going to scream. It's not going to do anything. It's just going to have small needs. I'll pick up its poop. That's what I'll do. And that'll be the cost of having this love in a small amount taking care of me. Well, you know, unfortunately, sometimes you leave your door open and that animal goes running away and decides it's going to go find out what its id is like. And so if something calls it and it scoots out the door, and there you are, and there you are saying, well, here I am now. I'm alone again. What am I going to do? So you think about the horse. You say, maybe I should get on the horse one more time. Maybe I should try relationships one more time. Maybe I should go to town. Maybe I should get dressed up. Maybe I should shape up, lose weight, look a little more fit, do something to get out there. And so you try to get out there. You get back on the horse. You consider getting back on the horse. And the horse kicks, rears, is not used to you, challenges you, goes a little too fast, knocks you down. But it's an older horse by now. So it's not as frightened. It's not as scared. And it allows you to get on a little more smoothly. But this horse, you know, it's not going to go as fast as it used to. It's not going to go jumping over to the very next spot. So you'll take it guiding. You'll say, come on, let's go take a walk. And you take the horse to the end of town. And hopefully it's not going to lead you over a cliff as it has in the past so many times before. This is Armand DeMille with Lisa Arnone. I hope we're not pushing this metaphor too far. We're talking about drives. I'm talking about a drive inside you. I'm talking about a part of us that is always looking to find some kind of peace inside. And we have battles all the time. We have battles trying to find out who we are, what we are. Some people find that in order to feel comfortable, they have to feel something. So just having a dog and laying around and being there isn't enough. So they want to see something that makes them feel, and we have the visual media. Then we have TVs, we have computers, we have things that'll help you feel things. Then we have newspapers that'll tell you about the death of a child and how somebody jumped off a bridge. And they'll try to get you to go, ooh, so that you can feel something inside because you're dying to feel. And we have movies that are very dramatic because you're dying to feel because you're hoping the horse isn't dead. And so you eat this stuff up. You love it. You just say, oh, give it to me. Give it to me. I was with somebody, a young person the other day. He said, you got to watch this series on television. And I said, what's the name of the series? He said, The Walking Dead. I said, what's it about? And he said, it's about zombies. I said, I don't want to watch a zombie movie. He said, it's really good. Really, really good. And I kind of checked it out, and I ran across a website of a young person who put up a sign that said, please be kind to zombies. It's not their fault. They're dead. And I said, I'm missing something. So, but the reason why zombies, because suffering is some of the only way that people know how they could feel alive. Carly Simon, you know, in I Haven't Got Time for the Pain, she talked about suffering is the only thing that made me feel alive. So they look for suffering, and it's part of what they do to suffer, to get the horse out. They get the horse out, and they say to the horse, hey, horsey, here's a little, let's go for a bareback ride into the bar in town and see what happens. And they take the wrong person for the right thing. And then what happens is they have some kind of a disaster, and then they feel misery, and then they call up their friends, and they talk about what a bad time they had. So here are your choices. If, my friends, you want to love, and by the way, our telephone number here is 212-209-2900. We'll be taking your calls right after our musical break today. 212-209-2900. You could start making your calls and hold on the phone. If you get disconnected, just call right back. When you get on the phone, please be sure to turn down your radio, because you can't hear yourself on the radio. So if you get on the horse, you got three choices. Right? What's choice number one? What are the three choices we came up with? I know the last
one. You could come to the cliff. You could find another block.
Right, you could get on the horse successfully, and then you could just work with it completely. Or you could say, this horse is too much pain. And just get off the horse, put it back in the barn. Say the hell with that. I met a woman the other day, and she said to me she meets men very frequently, but she never goes out. She says, I text with them. We have a text relationship, she says, because I don't want to get too close to anybody. She says, I have friends that I have sex with. So that takes care of that part of the horse, but no relationships. I live with a man that I don't have sex with. So that takes care of another part of the horse. But she has it all segmented in different places, but nowhere is she going to risk her heart. So that's one of the things you could do. You could break up the horse in many pieces, you know, and that's one that sounds kind of brutal. The second one is, of course, you can get off the horse and say, enough of this, I'll go get another dog, right? That's a possibility, 212-209-2900. And the third possibility is you could get a car. You know what I mean? Enough of this horse riding. Let me get something else, and we'll try it a different way. Or a go-kart or anything like that.
Yeah, but I wonder if part of our need is to actually get on the horse, that we need to get on that horse, that it's, even if we get nowhere, it's still the getting on the horse that gives us a chance for something different, something more, maybe something worse, but something different.
It's a real question. You know, one wonders if it's the horse saying, I need to be out there somewhere, so you got to take me on. Is it possible to live and be happy without necessarily having a love relationship? Without having something that close to you? That's a real question.
And with having that horse in shackles.
Well, I don't know about that part. That's yours.
In the barn.
I don't even have that image. My horse was running around nicely eating hay. That's the difference. That's why they come and see me. From shackles to hay. Hey, this is Armando. We're going to have to go because we have a little break. The song that I'm going to play you is a very important song. It sounds like it's saying one more chance to prove my love. But as you listen to it, I want you to hear the desperation of what it's like to be somebody who has been either an alcoholic or an addict or somebody who's made mistakes in their lives and truly perceives, I need only one more chance. Because one more chance is never one more chance. But I do want to play this music for you. I will be back with you in just a couple of minutes. This is Armand DeMille. I'll be right back. Okay, Joyce. This is Armand DeMille, WBAI. I almost said N-E-W. WBAI, 99.5 FM on your dial in New York. Let me play this piece for you. Oh, I love us.
My life, I don't mean much to anyone. Lost my way, can't go back anymore. I've heard it all before. Some people say that I'm not worth it. Made mistakes, but nobody's perfect. Guess I'll give it a try. I got one last chance to get myself together.
Together. I can't lose no more time.
James Morrison, in case you're curious. James Morrison, One Last Chance. We never have one last chance. Every time you think of it as one last chance, there's so many more chances after that. 212-209-2900. That's our telephone number. We're going to be taking your calls. We'll be right back.
On Wednesday, August 29th, starting at 6 p.m. at 120 Wall Street, the WBAI Community Advisory Board will be holding a meeting to discuss what is to be done to improve WBAI's programming and rebuild our audience. This meeting is a second in a series of dialogues to turn around WBAI from the dire possibilities of collapse. We are looking for ideas and solutions, not diatribe. Please bring your photo ID for access to the building. All are welcome.
The Schomburg Center for Research in Black Culture, in partnership with Atria Books, Emotional Justice Unplugged, and WBAI presents Shirley Sherrod, her story. Her daddy shot by a white farmer in the Jim Crow South, Georgia. Her mama pregnant when it happened. Her falling in love with a freedom rider. Her emotional breakthrough dealing with white farmers and discrimination. Her entry into the historic Obama administration. And the day the dream became a nightmare. Her story untold, unheard, unrevealed until now in her brand new book, The Courage to Hope, How I Stood Up to the Politics of Fear. Join Shirley Sherrod in conversation with me, Esther Armour, one night only, Wednesday, September 12th, 6:30 p.m. sharp at the Schomburg. Free, but call 212-209-2815. Come on out.
And this is Armand DeMille back with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial in New York City. Joyce has such a beautiful voice. I really like to do, we're going to have to do something with her. I'm here with Lisa Arnone, and we're talking about romancing the horse. Is that what we're talking about? I think that's kind of what we're talking about.
Are we talking about romancing ourselves onto the horse? I don't know if we were talking earlier. I don't know if it's impossible to avoid getting on the horse.
Okay. That was kind of where you ended the last time. I don't know. I mean, I know self-sufficient people who say love is good, if you got it, and if you don't, life is good. That's one form.
So there's no need that goes along with that?
There may be a need, but needs have priorities. You know, I think one of the reasons that everybody wants, you know, going back to Jerry, I hope he listens to this. He may get angry at me because I said his name, but I'm saying it anyway. He's a good guy to meet. Jerry. Jerry, his mother wants him to meet a nice girl. Why don't you settle down, meet a nice girl? And she doesn't talk in that accent. She has her own accent. And why do you think mothers want their children to settle down? Because mothers want to have grandchildren. And grandchildren make the mothers feel needed. See? So it feeds the mother's need to have your child produce a seed. Almost a poem. And so give me, you know, as grandmother, aren't you going to give me a grandchild? They actually say these words to their children. And then they put this in the child's mind, that part of your job. And it taps into that part of them that says, you know, there's a biological imperative here. I should have babies. I should have babies. That's what I'm supposed to do, have babies. And here's somebody who's my maternal influence is going to say to me, you should have babies. And do I think about overpopulation? Do I think about what's happening in this world? Do I think about Planned Parenthood? Do I think about whether or not, no, I should have babies. Because everybody's telling me I should have babies, and my body tells me I should have babies. So there's a need That's his biological imperative. But I think over time, it kind of dies out, especially when you're not producing as much eggs or sperm as you used to, number one. And number two, maybe you learn that you will survive even if you don't feed all your needs. And thrive. Thrive. 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMilhaj. You're on the air. Hello there.
Hello, Armand.
Yes.
God bless you for being on the radio, and they should have you on more often. It's extremely appropriate that you're having this show today. I've been chasing this horse since I'm 16 years old, and we've been married twice, divorced once. I took her to the prom. She just so completely flushes out my minus, and when I'm with her, I thrive and get strong and do well. But she always leaves me. And when she leaves me, I actually wither and die until she comes back. And it's like I'm under a spell that I can't break. And I can't do anything rational, no matter how many self-help books you read or what you try to do to put together. Is it a lack of self-esteem? Why do I constantly, like a moth drawn to this flame, it's like I have no control over.
How many years? How many years are you together? On and off?
From 1976 to the present.
That's a long time. That's a long time. So let's look at it, okay? Let's look at it another way instead of the way you're seeing it. Oh, look at what a weak man I am. Look at this, how I am so inadequate. And because I'm inadequate, I go back to this. I'm a moth going to a flame. Let's think of it another way. Let's say the two of you created a way to keep this feeling of bonding alive. And the deal you made was the following. You said, okay, every now and then we're going to get together. Then as soon as it gets a little mundane, I want you to get restless, and then you leave, and then I'll get miserable, and you'll go out and you'll do some crazy things, and then we'll get together, and I will cherish you like nobody's ever cherished anybody else. And she says, okay, that's the deal. I'm going to break away from you. I'm going to go out. I'm going to do something crazy. And then I'm going to come back. And then I'm going to get this great cherishing. And the two of us will be together. Now, in the 40 years that you're together, maybe you spent 30 of them having a great time. Well, 30 great years is pretty amazing. So maybe you made a deal. Now, I'm going to take this one step further to talk about what do you call that thing under a house?
Foundation.
No,
foundation.
Underneath, one step below, and you don't have a foundation. You have a walkway under the house, that little crawl space here. I think of people as being individuals in tatters very often because of their childhood. They were kind of neglected, so they wound up in the crawl space. They took their souls, and they went down to the crawl space, and they're wearing these tatters, and they're crawling around because being above ground was not safe. And then every now and then, they run into another kid who's also in tatters under the crawl space. And this kid, too, had a lousy upbringing and is very scared. And the two of you are very frightened, and you reach out to each other with your fingertips, and you see, is it going to be safe, or is he going to be like a rat that wants to bite me? And you touch each other, and you find out, no, I'm safe. And for that moment, the two of you touch, and when you touch, it's such a precious, precious time. But it gets dusty down there. and you need to get some exercise. So the two of you make a deal. We're going to have to separate, and then we'll come back again. What's your name?
Louis.
Louis. You know, Louis, I can't tell you. All I know is each time I know it's not as painful as the time before. I know that. And maybe
it's not true, Armand, for me.
It's more painful?
It's debilitating.
Well, it's always been debilitating, right?
Oh, horrible. Horrible.
Yeah.
Can't go to the gym, can't eat, can't sleep.
You get depressed.
Wind up sublimating just until she comes back, and then you spring back to life, and for a while it's good, and then you wind up losing her again.
Yeah.
It's like...
I got it. I got it, Louis. I can see it.
It's like crack.
Yeah, I can see it. Yeah, I can see it. It's this thing that you like and you love, and it's your system of being in it. And I don't know. For all I know, it could be the most precious of things, or maybe you want to buy a car. You know, maybe it's time to get off the horse.
I don't know how, Armand. I just can't seem to live with her, but I know I can't live without her.
You know, Louis, at some time, did we ever meet?
Yes, we have.
I thought so. I thought so, Louis. I thought so, sure. Well, I'm saying you may want to reframe it in your mind. And the frame of it is not just desperation. It's part of what keeps it alive. That without the separation, you'd never be coming back. You wouldn't have the part where you do come back. All right? It's good to hear from you again, Lou.
Thanks, Armand. God bless you.
My pleasure. Same to you. 212-209-2900. So many of us do that same. He hasn't put the horse to pasture yet. But he will. And by the time he no longer cares, then probably his mate will want to be there all the time. Because that's the time generally you get the best positive effect in a relationship, is when you're not chasing. When you chase it, they run away. They get scared by your needs. They don't think they could fill it. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there.
Hello?
Hello.
My name is Nancy.
Hello, Nancy.
I'm a long-term horsewoman, and there is...
Oh, good. Thank you. I need your help.
A horse and rider. People used to say if you were a witch, this horse would be your familiar, because my horses always tried to stay under me. They always tried to protect me. And I never had problems with horses. I knew, just like with men, I've known well. I haven't had terrible problems. I'm 73 years old now. I'm still working. I'm a writer, and I'm madly in love with a man who lives 600 miles away, and we get together every couple of months. And we can't do enough with each other, to each other, or for each other. Then after a couple of weeks, I get on a plane and come back to New York.
Why?
Happily.
Oh, so you're like doing your own version of getting on the horse.
Oh, yeah.
You have a love horse. You get on it, and you get off it, and you come back to New York.
But we love each other. We're in touch 3 times a day, and I know he loves me, and I love him dearly.
And you know, what's your name? Nancy?
Nancy?
Yeah, Nancy. Nancy, you know that if you stayed there, the love would not be as precious, right?
I know we'd kill each other.
Yeah, so there you go. So this is what
he's
you...
He's a genius, and he's way too quick. And he works all the time. He's an cartoonist, illustrator, and I'm working too, and I don't find it really comfortable to work on a laptop out there. But about the horse thing, when a horse and you finally go into sync, it's a beautiful thing. And you know, you I used to think right, left, walk, trot, canter, and my horse would do it. I didn't have to do much of anything. But there are things called aids, and it's your voice, it's your hands, it's your balance, it's your legs, it's your heels. And a horse that loves you doesn't have to be forced or prodded or whipped or anything.
No, they could be 3,000 miles away.
Well, it's only 600, actually.
600 miles away. Nancy, it sounds terrific. But listen, as a 24-hour cartoonist, and with you doing your thing and you're being where you are, and you clearly have it just the way you'd like it to be.
I do.
That's fine.
I was married for 36 years to an alcoholic. And it was so wonderful in the beginning, and we got along so well, and then I just couldn't deal with it anymore.
Yeah. He only asked for one more chance. You must have listened to that song I was playing.
I did. I loved it.
How many times did he say, "Give me one more chance, just one more chance"?
Oh, I want to come home. He was in a nursing home. He was so, so sick. And before that, I was married to a rocket scientist who was a total emotional cripple. But I was a little, Cinderella girl. What did we know in the 50s?
You sound like in the 50s, a rocket person?
Yeah, he was a rocket scientist. I married him in 61.
Oh, my gosh. Mm. I think I know who you are.
No, you don't.
Gosh. Well, if you'd send me an email, I want to send you a question. We may have the same person in common. 212-209. What? Yeah.
Who is an emotional cripple?
There were very few back then, but I know. Armand? It's armand@thepositivemind.com.
One word.
Positivemind.com. Nancy, thanks for calling in. And thanks for setting us straight. 212-209-2900. Good listeners, don't you think? Let's take another call. This is Armando Milhaj. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, Mr. Armando Mil. This is my first time calling you.
Oh, good. Must be a little nervous.
Yes, I am.
Everybody gets a little nervous when it's their first time calling. But thank you very much for braving that nervousness. You see, there's the horse right there.
Oh,
you're on the horse right now.
I haven't been in a real relationship since I left New York in 1994. And I left the city and I moved out west. And it was like I was on another planet. So some 18 years later, I come back. I find myself back on the East Coast. And, of course, 18 years older. And body changes and a lot of different social things and expectations. It just seems very difficult to connect with people, particularly the opposite sex. And I think that has to do with, a lot of things, I think there's a lot of loneliness in this country. I think there's a lot of loneliness I can speak for myself. There's a lot of loneliness in my life. And one of the things I've come to realize is that I got to work on me, you gain weight, you get out of shape, and just working on yourself, you become like a little bit more like a beacon of attractive.
Well, it's not, what's your first name?
First name is Ty Tuya, but people call me Ty.
Ty, it's not, we only have a couple of minutes, so I want to go with this. It is not all of the things like working and getting in shape and getting ready. It's really about your spirit. It's about your spirit. And what I hear, Ty, is that for some reason you've been depressed. And that depression has been holding you back. It also sounds like you're about to come out of that depression. And with that, as I hear that happening, whether you're doing it with help or not with help, as you're emerging from that depression, you're going to breathe easier again. So one thing for sure, no matter what shape you're in, no matter how old you are, there is always somebody who is there ready to at least see you. It's always available. All you need to do is to be out there with a smile at some point, Ty. And it sounds to me like you're just coming around. You're just turning the corner. So to that, I give you your congratulations. And the one thing I don't want you to say to yourself is that you're not good enough. Hey, this is Armand DeMille. We have to get going, unfortunately. I have better music than you do. I have better music than you do because I am going to play little Count Basie because Count Basie with Lester Young because it's Count Basie's birthday. We will not be with you on Wednesday as we usually are because this is that one Wednesday every month when WBAI likes to keep you confused. I'll be back with you next Tuesday at 1 p.m., my friends. You can go to the website, thepositivemind.com, and listen to any archives of any of our programs. Thank you.